Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm joined by Thomas Hampson, writer for the Illinois Family Institute. And Tom, you also head up an organization that protects kids.
Right, the Truth Alliance Foundation, truthalliancefoundation.org.
We're going to be discussing a couple of issues, including illegal migration, parents' rights, legislation that stands to help pedophiles and sex offenders. Tom, you served as an intelligence analyst in the U.S. Air Force, also served as a chief investigator for the Illinois Legislative Investigating Commission. His work as an investigator prompted him to establish the Truth Alliance Foundation that he just mentioned. Tom Homan, president-elect's choice to be the border czar, says he'll make it a priority to locate more than 300,000 migrant children who arrived in the U.S. illegally. Give us an update from the last time you visited Spotlight. How did they get to the U.S.? Why are they lost in a system, and what dangers are they facing?
Well, they came across the border as unaccompanied minors is what happened. There's a variety of ways that they wind up being unaccompanied. They may have been sold to a sex trafficker. They may have been given to somebody else to bring up here to make sure that they got reunited with some other family members in the United States. But basically, they show up alone when they cross the border. Border Patrol separates them out, puts them into a separate facility for children only, and then HHS takes control over moving them from that border holding area into the interior of the United States to wherever they're going. And they hire outside agencies, nonprofit organizations, many of them Christian organizations, to move them from the border to their ultimate destination.
Their NGOs.
Yeah, the NGOs, right. For the last 5 years, they have spent about $1 billion a year doing this.
Taxpayer dollars.
Taxpayer dollars doing this. And there's a total of 475,000 that have been come across as unaccompanied minors. There's 323,000 that are missing. They don't know where they are. They pay these organizations, on average, $42,500 per child to move them from the border to their ultimate destination. And then somehow they don't know where they are.
How does that happen?
I have no idea. I looked in to try to find some kind of report to be more detailed on step-by-step who does what, when, who's ultimately responsible for them in the end of it. And there's no report so far, and there's no information that's available on that. Somebody has to do a more thorough investigation of Health and Human Services. They're the government agency that oversees the process, but it's these nonprofit organizations that get the money for it. The government just throws money at them.
A lot of these kids have to be in danger.
Yeah, many of them are. Many of them are being used as labor slaves or sex slaves.
Wow.
There's no doubt.
That's just terrible. Mr. Homan says he'll make it a priority to find these children. Thank you. But how hopeful are you that he'll be successful?
Well, they have the names of every child. They can track the paperwork. It's just not going to be as easy as just going out and knocking on a door and finding them. They have to go step by step. Who is responsible for the child? What does all the paperwork show? And that's a lot of work because there's 323,000 that are missing. And even once they get to the ultimate destination that the paperwork shows, the child might not be there. It's easy to come across the border. We've all seen the pictures of these people just swimming across the Rio Grande or just walking across the desert and looking for a Border Patrol person to turn themselves into. That's what they come in groups. And these little kids are, you know, they're with the group. They're not totally unaccompanied. They're just not accompanied by somebody who's a family member.
Well, let's say they do find these kids. Mm-hmm. They're going to be traumatized. I haven't heard anything about what's going to happen to these kids once they have been located, if they're located.
Kids can be pretty resilient, but I imagine that if they've been sex trafficked, they will be traumatized. There's a lot of the kids that may be just being used as unpaid babysitters or
maybe they're working in a factory
or
some warehouse.
If they're older kids, they could be working in some farm.
Okay. So when Governor Pritzker and his fellow blue state governors say they will resist the future Trump administration deportation policies, are they in some way putting the lives of these missing migrant children at risk.
Yeah, they're putting them at risk. They're also putting all our community at risk by refusing to turn over criminal aliens.
I'd like to get your thoughts when it comes to the new Trump administration's deportation policies. It's my understanding that the policy will concentrate first on criminals, gang members, etc., maybe military-age men who've come here illegally. Wouldn't that be bad politics for Governor Pritzker and blue state governors, other blue state governors, to try to impede that effort?
Well, I think so. I think most people do think so. They think they're defending this group that even some Christian organizations say we're supposed to welcome the stranger. These people are lawbreakers, and they need to be gone. Look at all the people that have been murdered by illegal aliens here in this country. And it's true that perhaps even the illegal immigrants are more law-abiding than some of our own citizens, but that doesn't make any difference. There would be no laws that they broke if they weren't here.
Right. How many criminals are we talking about? How many gang members are we talking about deporting? And how much of an impact that have on the safety of our cities and our communities?
Well, my understanding is that there's at least 1 million of them.
Really, 1 million?
They know that there was 13,000 murderers that we let into the country? And there was another 15,000 rapists that they let into the country, and then there were 750,000 who had committed other kinds of crimes that we knew of when they crossed the border.
Military-age men, too.
Yeah, many of them. And then in addition to that, there's many who have committed crimes after they came here, so it's got to be well over 1 million who fall into that criminal category, just that we know about just from the last 4 years.
A lot of people voted for President Trump because of his promise to deport illegal immigrants. But when they start seeing the images of families being deported, does that all change? Does that support change?
You can have compassion for people, but that doesn't mean that they should be given a priority to stay here over people who are applying through the legal means to come into the United States. We're supposed to build a country that benefits Americans, not just the rest of the world.
Right.
We're the most generous country in the whole world. If there's a disaster anywhere in the world, we're there.
But would it be good politics for President Trump to say, we're going to hold off on deporting families if they've been law-abiding while they're here?
I think that provides an attraction to other people to come.
Okay. Explain to us how NGOs, you talked about it, non-governmental organizations have been assisting in sex trafficking.
Well, we know that some of these missing children, these 323,000 missing children, have been brought here to be trafficked for sexual purposes. These NGOs are the ones that are getting $42,500 per kid to move them from the border into wherever they're being taken, their ultimate destination, without any regard to who these people are and why they're being moved from one place to another. So I don't see that they have any real concern for these kids. They're more concerned about getting the $42,500 per kid.
And some of these NGOs are faith-based.
Right. Many of them are. Most of them are.
Wow. Do they go away with the advent of the Trump administration?
Well, I hope so. I hope they're going to lose a lot of money. Many of them get the bulk of their money now from the government.
Taxpayers,
right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's completely crazy. I've always been opposed to churches or any charitable organization from getting any money from the government whatsoever. What incentive is there for people to be generous to charitable organizations if the government is going to be paying them? But people figure that, well, the government protects children. The government does not protect children.
In some respects, the government puts our children at risk.
Well, 10% of children in public schools are sexually exploited in some way by adults in the school system between kindergarten and 12th grade, that they become victims of educator sexual misconduct.
We don't hear about that.
No, you don't. So, and that's a government school. It's unconscionable what's happening. The government simply gives lip service to protecting children. They do not protect children.
Right. We need to take a time out, continue our conversation with Tom Hampson right after this.
Hail Well and Well Met. My name is Jenna.
I'm Kenna Rose.
And I'm Eliana.
We are three of the five hosts of the Self-Evident Podcast, a platform dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, and our hope is that we do so in love.
We have seen a distinct lack of platforms talking about worldview issues and theology and just a lot of what's going on in the world from a perspective of speaking truth, but doing it in such a way that is loving. And so our hope is to be able to talk about these in such a way that
our peers can access
it. Right, absolutely. As well as interviewing a variety of people such as pastors, actors, theologians, directors, even some of our friends to glean wisdom from their own walks of life.
Yeah, so if you are in the Generation Z category, even if you're above that, or impressively, even if you're below that and you're listening to podcasts, good on you. We encourage you to stop by our platform at selfevidentpodcast.com.
Self-evident, speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm joined by Tom Hampson, a writer for the Illinois Family Institute, also the founder of the Truth Alliance Foundation, dedicated to protecting children. The website, Tom?
TruthAllianceFoundation.org.
And you're a former analyst with the U.S. Air Force, served as a chief investigator with the Illinois Legislative Investigating Commission, past member of the Chicago Crime Commission Board. And let me ask you this about a state law dealing with, in a roundabout way, with migration. Name change legislation, okay? Proponents say it will modernize the state's name change law, helping to assist trans people and help protect victims of violence from their attackers. Maybe domestic violence situation sounds good, maybe. But if you're trying to hide illegal immigrants, could it be used for that as well?
Sure. The thing I'm most concerned about is it's going to be used by predators who have been caught to avoid detection by other child-serving organizations. For example, the vast majority of predators pass background investigations that are done by various child-serving organizations if they're going to work there. The reason for that is less than 2% are ever caught. Most of the people that do, let's say, at church or even schools, mostly they use name checks to do the background investigation. So if you wanted to go to work at some church as a Sunday school teacher, they might do a background check on you. Well, what they're going to do is a check on your name.
See if you're on a sex offender list.
See if you're on a sex offender list. See if you show up as being convicted of some kind of sex crime or sex-related type of crime. If you have that in your background and you changed your name, they're not going to find you. So that's going to take it from being able to catch 2% of the people who are predators that are showing up to even less than that, because you give them the ability to change a name so that it conceals their identity from those that are checking them out. You're giving a free pass to predators, allowing predators to change their identity, put them in a position where they can work with kids again. Of course, there's always ways that churches can get around that. You can't change your fingerprints. So if you do a fingerprint check, then their conviction will show up. But most places don't do fingerprint checks.
Not churches. They don't want to spend the money.
Well, it's too much. Yeah, they don't even like spending the money to do a name check background investigation because it's too expensive. The other thing about name changes, if you check somebody, you check the county courthouse, you can find the people who've had their name changed. It shows up as a court case, and you can see that their name was changed. This new law, you're not going to be able to do that. In the past, if you wanted to, let's say you were a victim of domestic violence and you have a stalker and you're afraid of the stalker, you could go anywhere in the country and have your name changed in some county and then use that name and then move to wherever you want to. So the person's not going to be able to find you unless they check every county in every state in the country.
I think the proponents are calling this the Name Change Modernization Act.
It's just a way to allow people to conceal their identity. There's no legitimate reason for it. I don't see any legitimate reason for it whatsoever.
And do you think Governor Pritzker could hide illegal migrants through this legislation?
Of course he could.
Let's shift gears a little bit here. As you're well aware, what's happening are taxpayer-funded government schools with the indoctrination, the wokeism, the tried-out sex ed, all this kind of stuff. Parents feel like they're helpless. They've got their kids in the government school system. They feel like they are helpless and that the powers that be, the liberals on the school boards, the administrators, who are all in for this radical agenda, don't listen to them. But there's a toolkit available to parents that they need to know about.
Right. It's the Parents' Rights Toolkit that was put out by America First Legal that gives them step by step what they can do to keep track of what's happening with their kids in school. It has sample letters that they can write. It has sample complaints. Actually, it's fill in the blank. The complaints and letters are fill in the blank, basically. They have a sample Freedom of Information Act letter for every state in the country. Wherever you are, this toolkit you can use to assert your rights as a parent and also to file a complaint if those rights are ignored.
So if you go in to talk to your teacher, go before school board, this provides you some ammunition to what you need to talk about.
Right. It gives you the confidence to know what your rights are. They'll ignore your rights. The idea is that they simply ignore the law. In some cases, you have to enforce it. You have to do things to enforce it. This Parents' Rights Toolkit gives you the letters to write and the way to file the complaint and who to file a complaint to, or the specific language of a Freedom of Information Act for whatever state. That helps parents assert their rights, helps them to be more confident in dealing with the schools.
Tom, you point out in an article you wrote for the Illinois Family Institute that a lot of parents just are not aware that they have rights when it comes to their kids in the government schools, and they need to take advantage of those rights.
Yes, they do. Because the Supreme Court has said that parents have the right to direct the education of their own children. The schools routinely ignore that, and unless you assert those rights, they will continue to ignore it.
So parents have the rights when it comes to their kids. Let's say, can I opt my kids out of this, what they like to call comprehensive sex ed? I call it try it out sex ed.
Right.
Can they do that?
Yes, they can. They can opt their child out of just about anything.
Really?
Under the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment to the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965. Parents have the right to provide written consent before their children participate in any federal funding survey, analysis, evaluation. They can opt out for non-federally funded surveys covering protected areas. Parents must be notified in advance and have the right to opt out for those children, for their children.
All that from the top of your head, Tom.
Yeah, no, I'm reading it right here.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, I guess the next question would be, how do you get a hold of this Parents' Rights Toolkit?
In the article, it has a link that you can click on it. If they want to search, they can look for America First Legal and then search on that, their website, for the Parents' Rights Toolkit.
Okay. Parents' Rights Toolkit. Let's go to this question. Based on your law enforcement background, President Biden pardoned his son Hunter, and there's talk about preemptive pardons for Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, Anthony Fauci. As someone who has investigated government, your thoughts?
Well, I think these preemptive pardons admits that they committed a crime. You know, there's not much you can do about it. The president has this ultimate pardoning power. The only other preemptive pardon that's been issued was for Richard Nixon.
Right.
And that was never challenged. I tend to think that the Supreme Court would say he does have the right to pardon somebody, even if the crime hasn't been charged.
Do you think President Biden should face influence peddling charges because of his alleged illegal business activities as vice president?
I think he's committed many crimes while he's in office, just from the information that's come out about him. But I also don't think he's competent to stand trial.
Would it be wise for Republicans to go after, let's say, the Justice Department and the FBI and what have you, and start charging people with crimes? There's a point where you say somebody has to be held accountable for what happened, but is it just bad politics to go there?
Well, I think it keeps you stuck in the past. Criminal cases are very hard to make. It's a lot easier to reform things when you have the power to do it than it is to make a criminal case on somebody. It would be easier to make a civil case, to justify firing people than it is to go after them criminally. Now, if there were some things that they did that were worthy of criminal prosecution, then, yeah, I think they should go after them. But for most part, I'd like to see a reform of the system. The FBI is a good place to start. The Justice Department is a good place to start because I think people have lost confidence in our judicial system.
Is Cash Patel the right guy?
I don't know if he's the right guy. I think he would be a good guy for it. I think he certainly knows all the things that they've done wrong, at least so far as like the FISA warrant, the illegal FISA warrant that was done. I don't know why somebody didn't go to prison on that. Now they're showing up with armored vehicles and SWAT teams for people who are grandmas praying in an abortion clinic. Now, why are they doing that?
Right.
All that kind of stuff, that has to stop. And Cash Patel can do things to make that stop. So that kind of militarization, that type of showing power, showing force, that's not necessary, and we don't need it in American law enforcement.
You have hope that that's going to change come January 20th.
Well, I'm sure it will change.
Good. All right. You have articles available online at IllinoisFamily.org that you've written for us, and the name of your organization again, the website?
TruthAllianceFoundation.org.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom Hansen with the Truth Alliance Foundation, writer for the Illinois Family Institute. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. Make sure you sign on for IFI email updates. Go to our events page for upcoming events, including our Big Worldview Conference, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove, our Marriage and Family Worldview Conference. You don't want to miss it. Just go to IllinoisFamily.org, click events. Don't hesitate to give us a phone call here at IllinoisFamily.org at 708-781-9328. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.